The call to worship this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be a light unto the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this world that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Brother David,
will you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time asking that you would bless us and be with us throughout our service. Be with the speaker of the hour and be with the message that he will present to us. And just open our ears and our hearts and just guide us and direct us and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray.
I'd like to begin with Moroni chapter 7, starting at verse 14. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore ye may know with perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil, and believeth not in Christ, and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with perfect knowledge it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they who are subject themselves unto him. I read that last verse there, and I think, neither doth his angels do any good. Satan's got a lot of help right now. And that's why our eyes have to be open spiritually, that we can have discernment and wisdom, that all the people that are around us, those that, as we say, hang out with from time to time, that we make sure they are righteous and good people and not leading us in the wrong direction, even a little at a time, here and there. Everyone has placed within him the dark or the ability to overcome darkness. That's a fact. Did we not just see? For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that they may know good from evil. So there's no excuse. Every person has it placed within him, even now, from the very day that they are born, to know good and evil and to be able to overcome that darkness, which we call sin. Because that's what sin is. It's darkness. The more sin, the more darkness. Have you ever stopped to consider for a moment how much things have changed in the last, just let's say, 100 years? Really, 50 years if you want to look back a little bit closer even. Science and technology, all the things that have been advancements one after another, certainly to make our lives more comfortable, to make things a little bit more convenient to us. And I want to start to have you understand those two words, comfortable and convenience, because they have led to a lot of destruction amongst our people. And that's how Satan works. Yes, the advancements have made things more convenient and more comfortable, but these awful also have caused us to be a little bit more complacent. Information is available instantly. Right now we're talking in class, you know, we're trying to figure out, well, where was Joseph when Emma crossed the Mississippi River and went to Quincy? She crossed that frozen river, but she didn't know where her husband was. He was back in the jail. It had been a few days, maybe even weeks. She didn't know if he was dead or alive. If the mob got him and he got out of jail, she didn't know what happened. He didn't have a cell phone or nothing, no way to call and get back and find out. Now we, with the technology advances, we can pick up our phone, push one button, quick dial if we want, and talk to someone within seconds, thousands of miles away. We can cross the ocean in a matter of a few hours by plane. Think of that. Only in the last 50 to 100 years have we been able to do these things. The list of human accomplishments seems to be endless, on and on and on. Every day something new comes. You buy a computer, you think you got the latest and greatest computer, and a week later it's outdated. A month later it's outdated. You got to buy something else. And yet, out of all these achievements, no one has been able to come up with anything that can dispel the spiritual darkness that has filled this world. Not one. But we have convenience, and we're comfortable. Are we comfortable living in sin? We know and should share with all who will hear that God and God Himself is the only source of true light. The only source. He is the only one who can break through the spiritual darkness which dwells within this world right now. He created the sun and the moon and the stars. He is holy and dwells in light. All spiritual understanding originates from God. I want you to understand that. All spiritual understanding of all things. If you want to be physical, then you're going to only have the understanding of physical things. But if you want to be spiritual, and that understanding which comes from God, you have to become a spiritual being, not a worldly person. Even though He shines all around us through His creation, all around us we can see God shining in His creation. However, without spiritual eyes, we cannot see the full revelation of God's truth in this world. We just can't, because we can't understand the spiritual if we're looking at things from a worldly point of view. Satan has done a great job of blinding us. He really has, with all this comfort and with all this convenience that we have right at our hands, living in a sinful world. Sometimes, maybe for some of us, fitting right in. And I pray if you find yourself slipping into that direction, that you correct it right away. I want to give a few moments of divine light that we can see within the Scripture that only comes from on high, from our Heavenly Father. After He separates the heavens and the earth, God created light. Listen to this in Genesis 1, 3 through 8. We know these very well, but we must have understanding. Starting at verse 3, Genesis 1. Yea, in the beginning I created the heaven and the earth upon which thou standest. And the earth was without form and void. And I caused darkness to come upon the face of the deep. And my spirit moved upon the face of the waters. For I am God. And I, God, said, let there be light. And there was light. And I, God, saw the light. And the light was good. And I, God, divided the light from the darkness. And I, God, called the light day, and the darkness I called night. And this I did by the word of my power, and it was done as I spake. This proves that the light which we see in the day, the moon and the stars at night, with our physical eyes, it is of divine origin, because God created it. From the very beginning, God created it. He said His word, and it was. I want to look at a few examples of spiritual light, spiritual meaning with inside of us, okay? Those things that we see from on high that we can't even acknowledge with our human senses because it's so high, so far away from us. During the dedication of the temple, Solomon's temple, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Listen to these words from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verses 1 through 3. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Note how the people acted after they saw the power of God from on high. I want you to think of the Kirtland Temple for a second. And after they sung that song, the Spirit of God like a fire is burning. And later on in that evening, everybody in the town thought that the temple was burning down. Not so. It was the spiritual light that had consumed the temple, showing that the Lord approved. Even Christ came to them and told him, hey, he approved of that temple. A spiritual flame, a spiritual fire, if you will. In Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28, this is a little bit long, but I want to get the whole idea in. This is 28 through 36. As Jesus prayed on the mountain, James, John, and Peter beheld his glory in a moment of transfiguration. Starting at 28. And it came to pass 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance changed, and his raiment became white and glittering. And behold, there came and talked to him. Now let's listen to these words, because there's some stuff in there we're going to touch base on. And behold, there came and talked with him two men, even Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his death, Jesus, and also his resurrection, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So they're here talking to him about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. You're going to die and you're going to be resurrected. And they're having this conversation. But Peter and they who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. But they didn't hear the conversation, as we'll find earlier. And that's very important. So they didn't hear the conversation that Moses and Elias was having with Christ about his resurrection, his death and resurrection. But they saw them because they just awoke. And after the two men departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said, as they were sleeping. They heard not the conversation. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them all, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Of course, they didn't know what it was. It was scaring them. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and these things they kept close, and they told no man in those days any of the things which they had seen. They heard the God saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. They didn't tell no one else. They had the light given to them through a spiritual experience. I want you to think of that just for a moment. There are things that happen in our lives many times that we don't understand. Some would consider them luck. Others, as they know and mature in the Christ, would know that they're having a spiritual experience and that the Lord is watching over them. And there's the difference between living a physical life or worldly life and living a spiritual life and having our eyes open to be able to see those things, even how small they might be. That we all have spiritual occurrences within our life. Each day, brothers and sisters, each day, the Lord is talking to us and working with us if we just open our eyes and look and have the ability to see. They had their spiritual experience, and they knew for sure. And we're having ours. And we must see that, and we must know for sure. And that will help us carry on through times of trouble that we have and times of struggle, that those spiritual experiences that we know God is who he is, that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that we know that through him we can become sanctified and find ourselves in God's kingdom in that last day. Out of all the nations in this dark world, God came to choose and reveal himself to one little group of people known as Israel. That's how it started. Yet that nation, that whole nation eventually drifted into the shadow of sin. And you can read all of that in the scriptures. It talks many times about how they fell away from the Lord and his ways, and then there was wars that happened, and they had to be brought up off the ground again as they were bowed upon their knees to a loving Lord to continue to help to bless them. In fact, for 400 years, there was no prophet or revelation from the Lord, and that's a long time, especially when there's people that have come through that are knowing there's a revelation from the Lord. They're getting direction, and all of a sudden that stops. And you miss it, and people begin to search for it and can't find it. 400 years. During the Roman Empire, however, this all changed, as predicted by the prophet Isaiah, who said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined, and they did not even know it." How sad. It began with the angel Gabriel, who appeared first to the priest named Zacharias as he was offering incense in the temple. The angel told him that he would have a son that would be named John, who would be the forerunner of the coming of the Messiah. This is found in Luke chapter 1. A few months later, the same angel, Gabriel, appeared to a virgin named Mary, announcing that she would be the mother of Israel's Messiah. Can you imagine what Mary must have thought? How can this be? I am but a child. I'm just a person. I'm young. In the fullness of time, Christ, the light, if you will, entered the spiritual darkness of this world. For God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, to dwell among us, that we might be saved. Yet those who lived in spiritual darkness didn't comprehend who he was or what he'd come to do. They liked their comfortableness. They liked their ability to not worry about things, to make their own rules, to make their own laws, and things were going on just fine. They didn't want to be interrupted by this Christ child. Spiritual darkness is like a blindness, brothers and sisters. But the problem is inside of us, not outside. What we need to do is have a new set of eyes, and that's what Jesus provided for us, was that new set of eyes to be able to look and see things spiritual, that we might awaken to that understanding that has been given unto each one of us in here, to the knowledge and the greatness of God and his love for us. Although Christ healed many physically that were blind, the real miracle was of his opening of their eyes spiritually. And that was to everybody, not just the physically blind, but those who were spiritually blind here that were falling away. Again, generations go by. Things become more important than others. And next thing you know, God's pushed right out and he's forgotten. And that's what was happening. And Christ came to open their eyes, to take that sinful world under his arm, if you will, and renew them into his understanding and the understanding of God, and remind them of the covenants that were made back in the very beginning. At one point in his ministry, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That can be found in John 8, verse 12. It's a very important verse for us because it is another attestment to the scriptures and the prophets prophecies of Isaiah that Christ came into this world to be the light, to save those who are bruised, those who are brokenhearted, those who have been pushed by the wayside, if you will. What all the world's empires could not accomplish, God did by providing the revelation of truth and light, which can lead everyone out of sin and into the forgiveness and salvation of God's kingdom through Christ Jesus. But we have to believe upon him. We have to have faith on him. We have to follow the commandments. We have to find ourselves studying and praying often and fasting from time to time when we can, that all these things could be made known to us. We have to take time for God. and not allow ourselves to be so caught up in the world and the comforts of this and the confidence that we have in the world that we lose our confidence in God, the very one who created each one of us. Christ and his ability to bring us from dark into light is awesome. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord has done for us. All who receive Jesus Christ as Savior are rescued from this domain of darkness, which we see and perceive around us as being within now. And we're brought into the light which emanates through him, but it still is from God above, who is in heaven, watching over everything, along with his Son, obviously, now. It is as if, I want you to think of it this way, that we're being lit up from inside. His light now creates a body in which we live and grow in Christ's likeness and increasingly understand God's word and his ways. But first, we have to take that step into the waters of baptism, do we not? That we accept Christ and the covenant that we have made with him now to be Christ-like and follow him. We have to make that choice. And if we do, we begin to follow him. That light begins to well up within us for others to see. Things we could not grasp before begin to start making sense in our lives. We have understanding, as back in the days of old when we used to think things were luck, but why now we realize they're blessings. We begin to see those things and we begin to feel those things. That's the pure love of God that has become within us. Now our responsibility is to walk as children of the light, by learning what pleases the Lord, not just ourselves. And really, we should take ourselves out of it, to be honest with you. It's what pleases the Lord that we should be thinking of all the time. And displaying the spiritual fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth that comes out of our works as we go forth and do those things which the Lord has placed within our heart to do. And then you will see those fruits of righteousness, peace, truth, love, happiness. All the things that we think of that should be in the kingdom, all the things that we call Zion, if you will. God supplies everything we need in order that we may be able to stay the course which he has prepared for each one of us. He never said that I choose you, you, and you, and you. He started with Israel, but he includes everyone in that ability to be able to go forth and stand in that path of righteousness. But what do we do from time to time? We choose to go here and there. But he brings us back if we allow him. We can stay over there on the outside of the path if we want, just like those on the side of Lehi's dream, and be on the other side of the river in that mansion, making fun of all the people that are staying on the good side, on the righteous side, eating of that fruit. Or we can choose to be with the world because it's comfortable for us. We're not expected to do things. The Lord expects us to help him in his work. Make no buts about it. And you know what? When we begin to do those things for the Lord, we know without a doubt that Satan's right behind trying to cause us difficulty and pull us away because he doesn't want us to help the Lord. God's word guides us. In Psalms 119, 105, it says this: Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Stay in that light, the light of the word of God, and he will keep you on that path. What does this say? Feast upon the words, that you will never go astray. The Lord loves us, and he wants us to be with him, but he will not take away our agency. In the scriptures, we find the principles of his commands, the promises to lead us along the way of obedience, and he will help guard us from the falling into darkness of sin. And it's all in these words. And what does it say within these words? It says, pray to your heavenly Father that you will not be deceived and led into darkness. Study and pray. Find yourself prepared for those things that will come. We have everything we need. And I can assure you that the Lord's not going to give you something or make something so hard that you can't do it without Him being right there by your side to help you along your way, no matter what it is. You and I are also to be a light unto this world. Just as the apostles were told to go ahead on and be the light unto the world, we are told, as it was said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. While Jesus walked this earth, He was a light unto the world. And in the Sermon on the Mount, He says to His disciples, and I consider us all disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not apostles, of course, but we're disciples. We're followers. He says unto them, you are to be the light unto this world. Are we being a light unto this world? At least in our little part of this world, if you will. Of course, we are not the source of light, and that's what we must understand. We are not the source of the light. Christ is. But as believers, we have His presence dwelling within us through His Spirit, that light will so shine upon the world and those around us. We are merely the beacons, if you will, through which He shines in this dark world. However, we must make sure that the windows of our lanterns, to make things simple, are clean. In other words, we can't go out, we can't be one person here and one different person the next day. We have to be the same all the time. Because if our windows of our lanterns begin to be clouded, so will the light not shine through, and it will become to be dim, and people will not be able to see Christ displayed in our lives. And then there will be trust that is lost. Sin is like soot that clouds a lantern, making its light to become so dim that it becomes ineffective. And I'm going to preach on you for this for a minute, because, you know, we come to church on Sunday and then we go to work on Monday and we go out in the world, we go stand in lines at the grocery store, whatever it might be. Are we the same as we portray ourselves to be here Sunday while we're in church, worshiping our Heavenly Father? Are we doing that every day out there as we're out and about? Or do we collect a little bit of the soot of the world, that sinful nature that the flesh begins to bring into our bodies, and it causes us to be clouded a little bit? And then it causes those around us to question, hey, I thought you were a Christian. Why are you acting like this? Why are you doing this? Why do you look this way? And then there begins to be lack of trust. Oh, he's just another guy, another lady, whatever it might be. We have to keep our windows clean, if you will, so that light will shine, not to be put under a bushel. Jesus also commands us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, not to hide our light, but to let it shine in such a way that people will see our good works and thus glorifying God. By doing good works and other people seeing them, you're not taking it on yourself, you're glorifying God. The goal is not to gain our praise for ourselves, but it's that people should be drawn to that light, not to the lanterns that we are considered to be, but to that light, true light, which is from God in heaven. We are simply the vessels through which a transformed life is seen and the truth of God is heard by those who might be walking in darkness. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave before. We've been on a couple tours in caves, and we went down into the depths. I think we were a couple hundred feet down underneath the ground one time, and the guy turned out the lights, and then he lit one match. And I can't tell you how much light that little match gave off in such a dark place, and that's the way we are to be. Can you imagine if we were all lit to the full brightness of our abilities? How much light we could give off that emanates from us, that others can see, and it will draw them to us, not for us, but that would cause them to be closer to God and Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, when people come to you, and this is a confused world right now, there are a lot of people searching. You have to be prepared to give an answer. Just as Judy and I have new neighbors that moved across the street, and we begin to talk to them, they're looking for things within their heart. We can give them some information and feed them a little bit, but the Lord will work within their hearts to grow that seed, if you will, that's being planted even right now. And that's how we work. We work for the Lord and allow Him to take over. The people with whom we live and work should be able to observe a difference in us, that we're different than other people, that we are that peculiar people, which is nothing bad. It means nothing more than the fact that we're not just going along with everything that the world would say. That we are Christians believing in God and living a life that He has asked us to live, a righteous life following the commandments. People will begin to observe that difference because of the way we act when things happen in our life, the way we think as they watch us and the things that we do. They should see that Christ is our Lord and that we live for Him, not for ourselves, not for our own selfish pleasures or selfish pursuits, but for our Lord, helping others that they may have joy. Our character ought to reflect His love, His patience, His kindness, and His gentleness, not to be consumed by those things of this world and the lust thereof, but to be consumed with that which the Lord has placed within us to cause us to do good. Perhaps you live or work in a very dark place and feel as if your little light is insignificant in the face of all that's going on. But in reality, a tiny bit of brightness can drive away the darkest shadows. Instead of becoming discouraged, ask your Savior Jesus Christ. Ask God through Jesus to shine even more brightly through you for the sake of those around you who are lost and wandering in this hopeless world. As God's children, we are called to proclaim the greatness of the One who brought us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2. Although we have no power to give spiritual light or spiritual sight, we can each shine forth the truth of the gospel with our words and lifestyles and pray that God will use us in His mercy and will help open the blinded eyes of those around us to the truth that they need to see. Now here's a thought for you to ponder. From our own limited human perspective, we can't always see the dramatic shift that has happened in each one of our lives as we accepted Jesus Christ and now have that understanding of God. We can look back within ourselves, and it's hard for us to even understand and see that. Perhaps the closest analogy I can give you is from a man that was born blind. Okay, this is found in John chapter 9, and Jesus gave him sight. Blind from birth, couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden he has sight. And he's looking around and the whole world has now opened up to him in a new way of looking at things. Just as it did for us when we became gods and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And our eyes were opened. Think about these characteristics of children of light as recorded in Ephesians. This is in chapter 5 and I'm going to begin at verse 1. It sounds like a tall order, brothers and sisters, and it is. But one thing that we do good works with another thing, and it's like a domino effect. They all work together, and they're really not that difficult once we get going if we live that lifestyle. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks always. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye therefore not partakers with them. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfaithful or unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You will know. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. No hiding, brothers and sisters, at all. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord. Again, we need to have those spiritual eyes, that we may have that discernment and wisdom of what the Lord is telling us and not the world. We have to be able to separate that. So I ask you, do you think of yourself as a light unto this world? Each one of us needs to think about that as we go through our day. Do you think that you're being a light for your Lord unto this world? I know it sounds like a very big task, but really it's just a matter of letting Christ's light shine through you brightly in your words, in your attitudes, in your actions, and others will be drawn to him through you. Do you sometimes become discouraged because those around you have no interest in Jesus? How many times have we come across people, I don't need nothing to do this. I just do what I want to do. I'm happy in this world doing the things I'm going to do. I don't believe in all this stuff. That's all garbage. That's just something that you need to lean upon. I don't believe in any of it. Do we ever run across someone like that? When we do, I want you to remember these encouraging words from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. There is going to be times when we can't change that, brothers and sisters, but do not become discouraged because of that, because you know the truth. For everyone who doeth evil hateth the light. He don't want the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. If he comes into the light, what's going to happen? You're going to see all the evil deeds that these people are doing, and they're going to be brought forth. They don't want nothing to do with the light, because they know that that light will shine forth and show them the way they really are, for who they are. They don't want it. But he who loveth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. We love good deeds, and we want people to know them. And he obeyed the truth, the works which he doeth, they are of God, because it is all truth and light. Being a light for God in this world should be our goal, brothers and sisters, not just something that we read about. It may seem like an impossible challenge, of course. However, the Lord always supplies the resources that we will need in order to do the work that he wants us to have done. And we have a great resource right at our fingertips, as we talked about earlier, God's Word. As you read in the Scriptures, God's help comes to you, a reality that will come into your life as you read the words. Those words will jump off them papers, give you meaning, and give you direction. Listen to this from Psalms chapter 119, verse 130. A very good words. The entrance of thy words giveth light. They give understanding unto the simple. So there is no excuse. I don't want to hear someone say, look at Joseph Smith, 14 years old. Look at the light that he was given and the understanding through a few scriptures that he remembered. Even the simple will be given understanding. No one's outside of the ability to understand if you take forth that time to attempt to go and ask the Lord and read his word and ask him what it means. He will share it with you. The more his word transforms you into Christ's image, the more brightly you will shine in this world for others to see. Ask God to give you opportunities. Don't be scared, because he might give you those opportunities, but ask him to give those opportunities, and courage to be a reflection of Christ in both your word and deed. And that's very important, both word and deed. We can say a lot of stuff, but if we're not following that, we're just going to be hypocrites like many of the people are. So someone else can hear the gospel and from our words that we give them that were from God and escape the darkness of this world. Then I want you to do this. After someone has heard those words that come forth, that you were able to help and give them understanding as best you can, then you pray for that person that has heard those words, that they too may be brought into God's glory so that Jesus now will shine through them. How wonderful is that to think about that? Another soul saved, brought to Christ because of the way you lived your life and the help that you were able to give. Now there's someone else that is able to give that same help to another person and then to another person, and that's how it works. Doctrine and Covenants 16:3c says this: remember, the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. I don't never want you to forget that verse, because it is so important. Every soul has worth. We are not the only ones. There are a lot of other people out there that are in great need to have that joy placed within their hearts. And it could be just one of us that day that walks up and shares a word with someone else that brings them to the Lord. And then again, they can share with others.